Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And I can't wait. And I do think that while there is great excitement, you do have to understand everybody's going to want results right away. You do have to understand that this is not going to be an easy game, not going to be an easy opponent. And while the expectations and excitement can be through the roof, he's a rookie quarterback. And by the way, even if he has a great game on Sunday, the expectations could be that maybe he struggles next week. This is the beginning of not a Giants run, but the beginning of the evaluation of the future, potential future franchise quarterback.
Yeah, there's no doubt about this. This is going to be a lot of fun on Sunday. You know, Eli didn't fare too well when he made his debut. We all remember that. Couple of picks, didn't win the game. You know, to me, one of the best emotions as a sports fan is hope. I mean, because if you really think about it, too many of our sporting dreams are very quickly dashed with the reality of what it might be. Now, I think that we all think that Jackson Dart is emotionally ready. I think we all think he just seems very calm, very cool, very in control. I think we all think he's got enough physical talent to make this thing work here. But what makes this even a little more unique is that you think about, like, you know, whether it was Zach coming in with a rookie head coach. You've got Dart. Not that he's going to process this, I hope not, necessarily, but he's going to, at some point during this run, feel the weight of the aggravation of the fan base with the head coach. And, you know, that's going to be a very, very tough thing. Hopefully it's not, but it could be a very tough thing for him to separate and just focus on going out there and letting his skills shine because he's got a lot of talent.
But don't you think that there's a large portion of either media members or the fan base that is relying, even if it's subconsciously, relying on Jackson Dart to be the quote-unquote savior based on his ability and potential and his attitude and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
I do.
Fair to say?
Okay. I definitely do. Yeah, no question.
But if we've learned anything in the NFL, it's not just about the quarterback. So both can be true where you could say, well, look at Jackson Dart, man, the talent and his attitude, and it's going to be exciting to watch him play. Yeah, but come Sunday, if the offensive line isn't doing their job and they can't run the football and the defense isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing, which, by the way, like, that's happened continuously for the Giants for a decade. Well, then how's Jackson Dart going to thrive? The best example is right in front of us with Daniel Jones. For how many years did we say Jones just ain't it? Oh, Jones got potential. Oh, he's not getting any help. So I don't think now's the time to ignore the other parts of the Giants team that has to help the young quarterback. It's not just about the quarterback and throwing him out there as the savior.
Yeah, I don't think it's about ignoring them. I think it's from the organization's perspective. It's about working around those deficiencies, which we know are very real. And that's where Kafka's got to do a good job, call the right plays. That's where Dable's got to come up with a game plan here. You got to work around the deficiencies. They are not a good team. We know that. Now, sometimes they look a little bit better than other times, but in total, they are just a bad franchise until proven otherwise. The O-line's been spotty, the defense, you know, maybe not quite what we thought, and obviously, it's just very difficult to score points for this football team. So I think there's two elements at play here. There's the undeniable juice, and we mentioned Daniel Jones. Like, Daniel Jones had some talent. He was tough. You know, I think we all respected his willingness to take a hit, but Daniel Jones didn't bring any juice. Like, he didn't have that vibe. He didn't have that aura. He was just a vanilla, you know, right down the middle, pretty boring guy who just did his job. And I don't mean that as a diss. The difference with Dart is that this young man's coming with a different energy that I think is going to, I hope, is going to really resonate with the locker room. So, and once that starts to happen, you could start to look a little differently. But if they have him drop back 30-something times conventionally, he's going to get his head handed to him. They better draw up some creative stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to use the RPO and all that stuff. And I think they'll have some success with it and maybe move the ball a little bit more consistently. But I worry about, everyone's talking about the moxie and his attitude. Yeah, that's great. Well, what happens when he gets beat a little bit? What happens when he throws a couple of picks? We don't truly learn about somebody until they go through adversity. And that may not happen this week. It may happen in, week 7, week 8, whatever. This is just the beginning of an exciting, long process. But I guess my bigger concern is less about what Jackson Dart is. And we don't know. Nobody knows. You could say I could say I know. Fans could say it. Dable could say it. Nobody knows. He hasn't been out there in the NFL yet throwing a pass. So we need to see what he can do continuously. Succeed, fail, all of that stuff. My bigger concern is that I forget who made the decision, because that was a whole nother part of this, is that is this the right situation to be transitioning from veteran quarterback to the future franchise, future franchise quarterback of this team? Is this team in the right position for that to be successful? And when you have a lame duck head coach, a team that's 0-3, a team that doesn't do anything well, or at least consistently well.
A disgusted fan base.
Yeah, a fan base that's ready to pounce.
Yeah.
Those, to me, are bigger issues than Dart himself that would make me concerned about this not being the right position to put any quarterback in a place to succeed.
I agree. I wouldn't be playing him this weekend, but that's, that's no longer the conversation. When we talked about this earlier in the week, and you got the sense when Dable was non-committal to what he was going to do, you were a little less convinced than me. I didn't know if it would be Winston, but it just felt like the change was coming, and here we are.
I didn't think they were this. I thought they were going to stick to the plan a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, but this is where desperation and being embarrassed and all the things that we factored into this decision, this is where, unfortunately, on some level, it usurps the level of readiness for the young man. I mean, I don't know how clear this is the problem, Sal, and this is what worries me downstream. I don't know how clear the minds have been at that Giants building as they came to this decision. Now, maybe I shouldn't pluralize it. Maybe it is just a singular mind. Maybe it truly is Brian Dable saying, you know what? I wanted this guy. I'm tired of being lumped in with this other stuff. This is my last stand. He's the one I wanted. I'm going to show everybody that I got it. And hopefully that happens. But there is nobody that can convince me, if it was just a Dable decision, that there wasn't some sort of infiltration of desperation, or however you want to frame it, because he's got to save his own ass.
Yeah, and my thing is not even about whether Dart's ready or not. It's about, is the team built properly for him? There are two layers to the question. Well, is Jackson Dart ready? Are you throwing him to the wolves too soon? Week 4, he didn't sit and learn enough. He could be ready to go. Is the rest of the team ready to go? That's where I would say definitively, based on what we've seen for years, and even in this year, it's not. And that's why I don't think there's any difference in starting him week 4 versus week, 7 or 8. If you're going to make him sit, let him sit, try to build the foundation, then bring him in. It's not just about getting a young quarterback mentally ready or physically ready to play at the next level. It's about you building the foundation for him to succeed. And nobody can argue that after 3 weeks, the foundation has been built.
After 3 years, the foundation hasn't been built. Well, 4 years with this team. No, that's the most important aspect of this, but at least pertaining to Sunday, it's now irrelevant. It's immaterial. Whether the foundation's right, whether he's truly ready, it almost doesn't matter. Caution to the wind, training wheels off, he's under center. See, I think the next evaluation, and hopefully it doesn't come to this, hopefully it comes, and I think he's going to play fairly well. I don't think he's going to be overwhelmed. I'm not saying he's going for 3 Bills with 3 touchdowns, but I think we're going to see plays where we're like, okay, this is going to be interesting, and he at least shows early signs of maybe being the guy. But if that's not the case and it's the opposite, what I think is going to be incredibly problematic is if he starts to drown, whether it's, I don't mean necessarily in one game, but over the course of 3, 4, 5 games. Dable told us he's the quarterback for the rest of the year, which I think is idiotic.
I like that. Why not? He's the quarterback. What's the difference?
Well, he's the quarterback now, but there's levels of damage that you can do to him. So Now, listen, Dable could change his mind. He could say that we're going to get him ready, as he did the other day, to be the quarterback for the rest of the year. And he goes out there and he's got three picks and 3 touchdowns and 9 picks and 3 fumbles. And he's getting hit and he's a little bit banged up. And they just save him. They intervene. He very well can change his mind and do that. But it didn't seem like he's very amenable to doing that. And that worries me.
Yeah, see, to me, I like that at least. He's our quarterback. Here we go. We're riding out. And you can't make that move if you have any hesitation. And by the way, if Dart does struggle to the levels you're talking about, Dable's not going to be around to make that decision.
He will this year, though.
If Jackson Dart is as bad as you're saying to a point where they got to consider benching him, which to me is like not even a thought process, he's the quarterback. My bigger concern will be exactly what happened to Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones could have some success. He did win a playoff game. Look at what he's done in Indianapolis. And there were some good times here with the Giants. The talk was always offensive line isn't good. Doesn't have enough weapons. Improper coaching. Blah, 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 blah. Those things that all hurt Daniel Jones are still in play with the Giants.
Yeah, only you don't have Saquon to bail you out.
Well, they do have Malik Nabers. I can say, you could say, okay, well, the offensive line might be healthier with Thomas now and whatever it may be.
Runyon.
Okay, so the offensive line, a little bit better.
It's a little bit better. But
they don't have a running game. Mm. They do have a legit number one wide receiver, but is that really going to be that big of a difference as it pertains to developing Jackson Dart versus the way that they couldn't develop Daniel Jones? I'm not so sure. I'm just saying that those things to me that hurt Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones wasn't great himself either here, but all those other factors that led to Daniel Jones having to go elsewhere still could impact Jackson Dart, even if Jackson Dart has the potential to be a great quarterback.
Yeah, and just for the record again, I think he's going to be pretty good this weekend. I think he's going to be pretty good this year. I think he's going to be more positive than not. I'm just saying, if he doesn't play well, that's where you and I would splinter off a little bit here, because I'm not a believer in just making it worse. But we'll see. I also don't think, and this is not even really worthy of getting into today necessarily, but if it's really bad, I still don't know that they would fire Dable during the year, because to me, even if he deserves it, because the lack of structure, like what happened with the Jets last year, it could actually get worse. I know that that seems almost unfathomable, but I don't think there's anybody in the building that's prepared to take over if they fire Dable. So I think that they would probably let him ride it out. Hey, there's nothing in sports, even a young pitcher like McClain or even, Doc. Well, I mean, Doc was different, but whomever it might be, I think the most exciting thing on our sports radar is when we have a new quarterback that's got some hype, that's got some talent, and the team and the fan base needs it, and this is going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully he plays well, but I think he's going to.
Today's Giants preview is brought to you by New York OASAS. Don't know, don't judge. Turn the page on stigma. Learn more at OASAS.ny.gov. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Tony is calling from Staten Island. What's up, Tony?
Hey, guys. Happy to lead off. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I had a call after the first few words, Sal, that this is about the evaluation of Dart or the evaluation of this player. We're 3 games into this season. Okay. We have a chance to become 2-3. We have a historically soft team in the Chargers coming in for a 1 o'clock start, mind you, and we have the Saints, which is perhaps a winnable game, and to at least get us to 2-3. And you have over 25 years of quarterback experience on this team between Wilson and Winston. And I understand if you don't want to play Wilson. I get it. I fully get it. And then you're bringing. I mean, I don't understand how you not play Winston. This team is not ready for success right now, and definitely not ready for success with a rookie quarterback.
But then, are you worried? I'm a little confused. Are you more concerned with trying to win games this year from a Giants fan perspective, or seeing your future quarterback?
It's always about trying to win games.
Tony, they're 0-3. They can't win games. You could talk about, is this a winnable game against the Chargers? It was supposed to be a winnable game against the Chiefs. How'd that work out? And then what happens absolutely after the Saints in a couple of weeks? Then what? Is it winnable to beat the Eagles twice and the Broncos?
Let's try to get to 2-3. And if we don't get to 2-3, then it's Eagles, Denver, Eagles, Frisco, Green Bay, Detroit. I get it at that point. I get it. But you don't even get – that's so unfair to the fans. So unfair to the fans what they're doing. I don't get it, man. I just don't understand why they're not trying to.
You do get it, Tony. You do. I think you're just choosing to ignore the reason. And a good call. Appreciate that.
Thank you for the call.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, I get it. There's obviously very different opinions on this matter. This doesn't have to be uniform for everybody. I think it's a little bit early. I do. But it's not. It should not be about wins for me. It should be about the ultimate growth of of Jackson Dart. And to me, there was a way to do that where maybe you gave yourself a chance to win. Maybe if Jameis Winston had a big day, I would have pulled Russell Wilson. He was awful the last game. I couldn't run him back out there. I would have played Winston and maybe given Winston 2-3 weeks or even a month and then go to Dart. But it's not about wins. I don't know. For some fans, it is. I understand that. But it shouldn't be because they are so far away from being championship relevant.
But by the way, they can make the argument, the Giants, that Jackson Dart gives them the best chance to win.
That's true.
Like, Jameis Winston's a pick six machine. I like Jameis Winston and his personality. He stinks.
What is he on the team for? To lead the huddle and cheer? Whatever. Why is he here?
He stinks. So, but I would agree in the notion of this year, like, you don't want the unfortunate reality. Nobody from the Giants' perspective wanted to have the unfortunate reality of their team is not any good and they're not going to win any games this year. They thought they were better than they were. Fans bought into the hype and they started to believe that they were better than they were. And the results after 3 weeks, they should not be 0-3. They are 0-3. Like, losing to the Cowboys in a game that there's no way you should ever lose that game. The Cowboys stink, not to mention how many points the Giants scored. Can't lose that game. You did. Chiefs were vulnerable at home. Tight game. You lost it. Again, you lost the game. Not to mention Washington week one. 14-6 in the fourth quarter. Like, they're taking moral victories, the Giants. 0-3 yet again, which has happened forever. So they're not a good football team. And to me, I never believed they were going to be a good football team. It was always going to be about developing Jackson Dart. It was always, in my mind, just a matter of when that was going to be the case. Week four, I did not anticipate this being the case, but you can make the case. Dart gives them the best chance to win. And they believe that the combination of having him try to help them go win games while developing is the best thing for the franchise.
Listen,
right now,
if the Giants were in a better spot organizationally and, like, Gettleman wasn't a mess and the end of Reese wasn't a mess and the coaches weren't a mess and the ownership wasn't out to sleep for the last 10 years, basically, well, then maybe you could have had a situation where they could have scrapped together some wins like they did with Kurt Warner. And it would have been more of a seamless, even though, and we talked about this yesterday, I know it bothered some of the veterans because Tiki's talked about this. And it was never anti-Eli. It was like, hey, we've got a finite window to win. And we're winning with Kurt. Guy's an MVP in the league here. Why are we going to pull the plug here, even though everybody knew that Eli was eventually the guy because of the draft status there? So there was a little, not discord, but maybe confusion with that Giants locker room.
Also, BT, rookies weren't the same as they are now.
Yeah, meaning they're more prepared now or less prepared now?
Now it's like pre-2008, let's say, rookies weren't coming in and lighting up the league in their first year or their first go-around.
Yeah, because the college game was very different than the pro concepts. And as a matter of fact, a lot of the college concepts are now going to Sunday rather than the other way around. Right. It's actually pretty interesting. And somebody like Jackson Dart has 45 career college starts, which is a lot of snaps at Ole Miss, in the SEC. So I think that he's ready, but ideally it would have been nice to pump out a couple of wins and then make the decision a month from now, but the Giants organizationally aren't good enough to get wins, and here we are.
Brian is in Northport. What's up, Brian?
Hey, bud.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Okay.
So I don't know what's going to happen on Sunday. None of us do. Maybe the kid lights it up. Maybe he sees ghosts. I don't know. But all I know is what Brian Daboll did, whether he knows it or not, and I think he does, is he put his head on the chopping block. Because this is it. I was a huge Daboll supporter. I can't stand the guy anymore, and I don't think he's it. I mean, what have we looked at the last 5 years? Well, we got one playoff game. The press conferences are insufferable. He can't answer a question to save his life. He treats us like, as fans, like we're morons. I can't take it. And this is it for him. Well, and he knows it.
Well, this is it, Brian, and thank you for the call. Now, remember, it can turn. If Jackson Dart is who everybody wants him to be, and the little flashes that we saw in preseason or whatever it may be, then the way that we all look at Brian Daboll can completely change. It's not going to be in 1 week, though. It's going to take some time here. I understand being frustrated with Daboll and thinking that it's over for him, but this is really the beginning of the potential future with the quarterback or the beginning of the end for the head coach.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
We had to close the pool yesterday. It was the end of the summer. The guy comes to close the pool. And, you know, while I'm excited about football and Jackson Dart, it's just symbolic of where the hell did the summer go? It's over. No more swimming. No more relaxing. You know, no more escaping from the wife for a little bit and going out in the pool. Seeing it close. And when the weather's not bad, it's still been 80-plus degrees.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, the leaves are starting to fall a little bit. We had to do it. But just the end of the summer gets me a little melancholy.
Okay, well, I can understand that. But did you at least do some due diligence here? And I understand the leaves are a pain in the ass. You gotta flush them out there. But
yeah.
Did you do the 10-day forecast to see if it gets squeezed another week into it? Because
no,
I just did it for you, and you got a bunch of 80-degree days coming up.
I know.
So what are you doing?
It's also, we're going to be at my wife's friend's birthday party this week. Like, we just weren't home for the weekend, and then the longer you let it go. But then you got to maintain it more. And by the way, it's a fee to close the pool, but it's a fee if you keep it open because you got to have the heater running. That's more gas bill. You got to go get the chemicals to keep it. But I'm getting hit left and right here. I got another issue with the water pressure in the house. A plumber comes yesterday. Oh, yeah, we got to install this thing. $700 later. I'm like, what are you out of your mind? Like, I would have been okay. And the issue that I wanted fixed wasn't even fixed yet. So now I got to call them back today after the show. So now I went from melancholy to being flat out angry. But I was melancholy about the pool, angry about all the other stuff.
Did you aerate the lawn yet? That's about $1,000 when they do the reseed and everything else. Did you take? You got a nice chunk of lawn back there.
I'm not doing the aerator.
You got to aerate the lawn.
It's just a waste of money. I'd rather be brown.
It's not a waste of money.
Yeah, you got to shut down the sprinklers.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable what's going on. My wife's friend's birthday party. Like, I'm leaking money. It's absurd.
Hey, welcome to being responsible and having a wife and having a kid and having a mortgage.
I don't want to do that anymore. Yeah. I want to go back to having my apartment in the city. Single Sal. No responsible. Just pay that rent, which was not easy. But
happy
still.
Sal. Happy Sal.
Happy and single
freelancing Sal.
Yeah. Walk around in the city on a Saturday morning. Go read the paper. Hang out at whatever bar.
Yeah. Glory
get ready
days.
For the games on Sunday. No, it's a close the pool. Close the sprinklers.
Glory days.
Call the plumber. Do this. Do that. Birthday party here. Go to the ATM. I don't have it. Go to the ATM.
I mean, How much do you think you got?
For
what? There's nothing in there.
How much you think you got to give? Exactly. How much you think you got to give for a birthday, 50th birthday party? Best
this
friend.
This is her friend or your best friend?
Her best friend.
I thought you told me it was your best friend. Her best friend?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to give anything.
Well, I know.
Her best friend. I don't think it would be money myself. I think it would be more a nice, real, like a really nice symbolic. Like, I'll tell you what. So my 50th birthday.
Like, we're talking like nice, like you know, $80 or something like
that. No, you got to go more than $80, you cheapskate, dude. So Hoff was at mine with Teak, and we weren't working together
yet.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'll give you an example. A couple of guys, a couple of good buddies in town that I coach with. One of them got me a framed Patrick Ewing jersey, autographed. There were like three or four people that chipped in for that. Another two or three guys got a Mattingly the Hitman poster autographed by Mattingly.
It was on a couple hundred.
Yeah, I mean, some got some really expensive bottles of scotch, a couple of $100. It's got to be at least a couple of hundred, dude.
It never ends.
It's got to be.
BT and Sal, the Fan, 888-808-1019.
You spent the Giants this weekend. You get it back.
How much do you think fans paid to have that plane fly over MetLife Stadium on Sunday?
How much is that? Did you see the price? It's got to be one.
I didn't see the price, but how ridiculous is it? Like, see, this is where Giant fans got to get a grip. This is maybe the most exciting day for Giant fans in years.
Yes.
Well, not maybe. It is. Yeah, outside of the playoff game, and even that was like, okay, we knew they had their limitations. Great win against Minnesota, but that team had their limitations. This is a great, exciting time right now to see Jackson Dart and these knuckleheads because they want to sulk in the misery and just be so overwhelmingly negative. I get that it's been ugly. You need to fly the plane over. Come on. Every year we're going to be doing this?
Didn't they book this in advance?
So they already paid for it.
Maybe they can't get the money back.
Cancel it. So what? If I'm a Giant fan, I'm saying, you know what? My bad. I'll eat it. I don't want any negativity surrounding Jackson Dart.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it's not a good look for the kid. But you know what? You think it's going to bother him? Not at all. Not at all.
Not him, but ownership, sure. Nick is calling from Windsor Locks, Connecticut. What's up, Nick?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. How are you, Nick?
What's up, Nick?
Not bad. So definitely I agree. John Mara, somebody had their hands on to put pressure on these guys to put Dart in on week four. I don't think that was their plan. I agree with everybody on that. But – you know, Giant fans just need to be more positive. This team, Dart's ready to go. He's played 45 college games. I love guys that come into the draft, into the NFL, that have tons of college experience. This kid is talked so positively by John Gruden and other big football names.
Yeah, but John Gruden's missed more than he's got. John Gruden's a mess with that
stuff.
Talk
about everybody positive.
Yeah, right?
I'm sorry I brought up John Gruden, but I just think the kid's ready to go. He's losing with confidence.
Real quick, Nick, hold on. It's not just Gruden. Like, Tony Romo was talking about Zach Wilson like it was the next Patrick Mahomes.
So, and Darnold.
Yeah, they do it with everybody, okay. just to be clear. Now, go ahead, Nick. Sorry.
They could be wrong, but we got to be positive. We can't just sit here and just assume the kid's going to poop the bed here. He's going to be really, really good. I really believe that. He's the future for the Giants. Our offensive line's way better. Our team is ready. I just think they're ready. I think that they would have won that Dallas game if he was our quarterback. And I do think that he's going to win more games for us this year than any other quarterback on this roster would have. And do I think we're going to do anything? No, I think we're going to win four games, five games if we're lucky. Don't ask me to find them. I have no idea where it's going to happen. But I do think that we're going to beat Dallas the last game of the year. I think we're going to win some games. This team, Dart's going to be our future. We're going to build around them. Let's go, man. I don't want to be in the category. No offense to you guys. It's not a dig to the Jets fans, but I'm sick of being in that category. We're not the Browns. We're not the Jets. We're the New York Giants.
Yeah, you've been worse.
We won a Super Bowl in every decade, unlike any other franchise in the NFL. Yeah. And we still have a chance this decade.
Yeah, well
Nick, can I bust out? Thanks for the call, Nick. And I love the resilience there. Good for you. I won't want to be lumped in with the Jets either, but you are. Until you're no longer lumped in, you got to get out of that hellhole basement. The problem with that, and my father-in-law says this all the time, but I've used the expression once in a while, you know, you can't bust out yesterday's resume and throw it on the table today. Who cares what you did yesterday? Right. I mean, the Giants have been a bad team for a long time. And I appreciate the fact that you think that Dart's going to be good, and I think he's going to be good. I think Sal thinks he's going to be good. We don't know if he's going to be good right away. That's not really the point. It's more about is it too early? Right. And by the way, these predictions, I had to pop this up. August of 2018, quote, I think Sam is going to be one of the truly great quarterbacks in the NFL. I think he's got a chance before he's done with his career to be the top guy and push Tom Brady aside. When he goes away, Brady, it's going to be Rodgers and it's going to be Darnold. You know who said that?
Romo.
That was Romo on my show back in the day. These guys are wrong all the time. Yeah. So I don't care what they say on the scouting report. They miss more than they hit.
Yeah, also, like, I'm sure our last caller and other Giant fans, I know because I was taking the calls on the overnights. Daniel, call me, tell me Daniel Jones is going to have a gold jacket. Daniel Jones is going to be a Hall of Famer. Daniel Jones is going to be better than Tom Brady. Now, we've seen what Sam Darnold could do elsewhere. We've seen or we're seeing what Daniel Jones is doing elsewhere. That's why it's not always just about the quarterback. That's where my emphasis is ahead of his starting debut this Sunday. It's C.J. Stroud's the perfect example. We talked about this with Baldy earlier in the week. He was great year one. Year one with D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud, everybody in the NFL would have been like, oh, give me that combination. They got it right, the head coach and the quarterback. And yet here we are year three, and they've regressed significantly. Well, why is that the case? Boldy told us, because everything else around them came crumbling down, whether it be coaching, offensive line, receiver play. So that means it's not just about the quarterback. So you could think that Jackson Dart's going to be great. He might have the potential to be great. But if the surroundings of Jackson Dart aren't good enough, and there is no reason to believe why they are, then why would he have more success than Daniel Jones or anybody else?
There's no position in sport that relies more on the people around you than quarterback in the NFL. There's nothing that even comes close.
Steve is in Yonkers. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
What's up, man?
Hey, you guys have set me up perfectly for my point right here. I just called up to say the Giant fan, because the callers just like that, are now becoming the equivalent to the Jets fan. They are miracle wishers. All right, listen to the reasons. The guy's got moxie. He's got his chains on. We've been bad for a decade. I would think the Giants fans would be a little bit more realistic and hedge against misery, unlike the Jets fans, but everybody's calling in, you know, thinking it's the next coming when he's going to be bad, and we know it. So I don't know where this excitement is coming from.
Well, the excitement's coming from a quarterback that a lot of people think could be pretty good. And listen, when you go back to the start of the show here, free Odyssey app, if you guys missed it, PT and Sal, I use the word hope. I mean, there's nothing more energizing than hope. Now, you can't quantify that. I wouldn't bet on hope, but it's certainly in the moment an emotional factor as to why some of the, not all, but why some Giant fans are really excited to watch this young man play, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah, you can't say definitively he's going to be great. You can't say definitively he's not going to be any good. What you can say, from at least for me, what we are working with, what we know. We don't know about what Jackson Dart's going to do. What we do know is he's coming into a situation with a lame duck head coach that basically hasn't won a game in his last 3 years. A team that's 0-3 yet again, that had different expectations. A defense that was supposed to be great that hasn't been even good, really. Put it this way, haven't been good enough to win a game so far. And an offensive line situation that is maybe improved from what we saw with Daniel Jones, but murky at best. They cannot run the football. So those are all things, those are all real, tangible things with evidence that Jackson Dart is stepping into. Is it better than what Daniel Jones had? Maybe in some ways. Maybe not, maybe similar, whatever. But it's not like we're saying, hey, the Giants finally built a foundation. It's week 10. They won, you know, they're 4-6, but the defense has been lights out. It's just because Russell Wilson was throwing the ball into the stands as opposed to throwing it in the end zone trying to make a play. That's why the Giants have felt like that's not what's happening here. There are still question marks about the head coach, about the defense, about the offensive line, basically about everything involved in this Giants team.
Did people forget about the conversations we've had for years?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, everything about the Giants have been bad. I mean, everything about the Giants, the judging the job by Shane and the drafts and the coach and the ownership and the quarterback and the O-line and the injuries and the poor draft picks and the sloppy free agent signings. What has been good? There's really been nothing good. So this, again, represents a ray of light, a ray of hope, and a ray of possibility. But to think that this is going to be baked into some sort of seamless transition, you're absolutely out of your minds. I mean, the Giants have been terrible for a long time, and you've got to hope that he can rise above this and that he could just tread some water. And as the other things around him become more functional, right, hopefully that they do, that he begins to ascend with that. That's got to be the hope.
Correct. That's the key. And it is possible. And that's why there's legitimate excitement and should be around Jackson Dart. Maybe he raises the level of play from each side. By the way, not to mention the kicking issue. I know they got Koo now, but he's not even that good. But still at least a healthy kicker here. Point is, like, it takes a lot. It's not just going to be about Jackson Dart. There is a possibility that he can raise the level of play, and maybe the Giants do win a game, and then it could snowball in the right direction. But, I mean, we need to see it before we just blindly say that that's going to happen here, just because Jackson Dart is a confident, exciting, energetic player.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all, Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Obviously, the Orioles next, three to go. You got Warren tonight. You got Schlittler tomorrow. You got Heel on Sunday, 3:05 first pitch. And as the Giant stuff is hot, I'm keeping an eye on this Ryder Cup. Europe is absolutely drilling us so far.
Good, 3-0 good guys.
The good guys?
Yeah, isn't Rory on Team Europe?
He is.
I like Rory.
Yeah, I do too. I don't like him this weekend.
Yeah, why not?
What are you, you're rooting for Europe?
I like Italy. Is that not in Europe?
I love Italy. I love Ireland. It pumps through my blood. But I love America more.
Okay,
we're getting our face knocked around, man. 3-0 is an ass kicking.
Who was actually the favorites? I have no idea. Like, who's?
I didn't even, that's funny. I did not look at the betting odds. I know DeChambeau got us going, and he cranked the drive, and he started, like, he was the first one off. And we looked pretty good early, and then Team Europe just went on a birdie binge, and we were just making par. So we're down 3-0. That's a bad start.
Who's U.S. best player?
Scottie Scheffler.
Oh, Scottie Scheffler. Yeah, I like
Scheffler,
him.
Scheffler, he's awesome.
I like Scheffler.
Who else? DeChambeau's there. Mount Morikawa's there. It's a good team.
And I'm a Rory guy. So if I'm a Rory guy, wouldn't I want to see him?
You are such a contrarian. Yeah, sometimes. No. Why root for Team Europe, this guy?
Well, I mean, what? In the WBC, I got to root for USA. What if I wanted to root for Mike Piazza and Team Italy?
I mean, I could see if you're Irish. I mean, Rory's Irish. He's not Italian.
You and I differ in that stuff. Where, you root for the guys that are from around here. I couldn't care less where Tommy DeVito or Anthony Volpe you're from. Can you play or not? And the answer, unfortunately, for both those guys at the different levels, maybe not. Where's Jackson Dart from? Does any Giant fan give a crap? No, let him see him go out there and spin it on Sunday. Patrick is calling from Melville. What's up, Patrick?
Hello. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Pat.
So, I called on Monday, and I was like, it's Jackson Dart time. And the reason why I was saying that is, it's not a question if he's ready or he's not ready. He just needs the experience. I am in no delusion that the Giants are all of a sudden going to go on a winning streak. They're probably going to finish 3-14, to be totally honest. But you just kind of want him to get his experience, get his NFL experience. So this way, hopefully next year we could have something. Now, the problem is next year, if we do 3-14 and we actually have the number one pick in the draft, where it's supposed to be a quarterback rich draft, what does the new regime want to do? So that's the problem. So hopefully,
good God.
Hopefully we'll do some kind of magic, and hopefully he does do well, that won't happen. But I'm just saying that that's probably what's going to happen.
Look, the number one thing, and thank you for the call, Patrick, that you should be, well, not hoping for. Obviously, you want to see your team win and Jackson Dart to have great success. But the number one priority for me would be that this is the proper foundation to bring him into so Dart can have success. It's not just about, getting him experience. Experience. You'll eventually get experience. But would you rather him get experience getting beat up and losing and making mistakes because the team around him isn't any good? Or would you rather him get experience by being put in the right position to succeed? So that, to me, is the biggest issue with this entire thing. If you put a quarterback that has potential into the right spot, he will thrive. If you put a quarterback, BT, that has potential into the wrong spot, he will fail. We've seen that before.
You know, what's my favorite example? Who do I always reference?
With what?
Well, like a reclamation project, quarterback. You know, I said it the other day, too.
Oh, yeah. Rich Gannon,
right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to go for Rich Gannon right now because that's too obvious here. But when you guys get a little bit of time, and just to back up what Sal just said, because I agree, and I'll just give you a quick thumbnail here. Look at Alex Smith. All right, Alex Smith was the first overall pick in 05 out of Utah. Now, he should have been the first overall pick, but he went to the Niners when they were basically, the Niners were like the Jets and the Giants are now. They were recycling coaches. They were an absolute train wreck. This is what he did his first couple of years. He goes 2-5.
He started right away?
Right. He's not in seven games his first year.
Okay.
He goes 2-5, 7-9, 2-5. His fourth year, he didn't play one snap. He got hurt. Then he goes 5-5. Then he goes 3-7. So he doesn't win at all. Three of those years, he's got a sub-60 completion percentage. And his interception to touchdown ratio was embarrassingly bad. I just say that because then Jim Harbaugh comes in the first year at Harbaugh, 13-3.
I mean, that shows you all you need to know. It's a great example.
Then he goes to Andy Reid and he wins 11 games three times in Kansas City. Why? Because they had the infrastructure.
And they built the infrastructure, let Alex Smith take him as far as they could, drafting Mahomes knowing that they needed more. And then what happens? They put Patrick Mahomes in the perfect situation. Tony Richardson was in studio with us yesterday, said that, and like this is a thought that a lot of people have had, but Richardson played at a high level in the NFL with many teams for years.
Stud.
Saying that he believes if Patrick Mahomes was drafted by the Jets or Giants or whatever, he wouldn't be what he is right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has the skill and the talent. So do other guys who have been eaten up and chewed up and spit out in the NFL. Daniel Jones is a great example of it. Sam Darnold winning another game last night. Like, if you ask me about, we did have this conversation. Like, Sam Darnold stinks. Like, I just dismiss it because of how awful he was with the Jets. However, he's been very competent, if not flat out good, elsewhere in Minnesota and now with Seattle.
Think about this, Sal. What really gets us excited about quarterbacks, aside from like the possibilities of them elevating teams? To me, I guess I'll answer my own question. It's a size, strength, speed ratio. Are you big? Can you move? Do you have a rocket? And then to put it to the next level, can you make off-platform throws? Like, that's why the Jets fell in love. Not that Zach was huge, but he had a great arm. And that throw at the combine where he's basically running to his left and he threw it 63 yards on a clothesline. And I took the bait too. Same with Darnold at his pro day when he was throwing in the rain at USC. I'm like, okay, he's got big hands. He could throw in the rain. He's going to fit in the Northeast. Look at these throws, the Orange Bowl. So we look at, are you big? Are you fast? Can you throw? And that's what we get locked in on. But it's the other stuff that really truly matters more.
What would you say is the most important aspect of an NFL?
Reading a defense.
Oh, not from a quarterback.
Oh, I'm sorry.
From if you're looking to have the most sustained success possible, what's the most important piece for the NFL?
It's always the offensive line.
See, for me, it would be the head coach.
Well, okay, I was just thinking on the field.
Okay, so like we can talk about quarterback, you can talk about offensive line, whatever. It's the head coach that to me makes the biggest difference in whether it's developing quarterbacks, prioritizing building an offensive line, schematics, running the football, whatever it may be.
Accountability.
Did the Giants have that?
No.
No. At very best, it's still incomplete. At very best. But we can't say, okay, well, definitively they have Harbaugh, or they have Andy Reid, or they have
Sean Payton. Or Pete Carroll. I know the Raiders don't look great, but
bingo.
I got you. Yeah.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Coaches who we
Tomlin,
know.
Tomlin. Guys know how to win. Right. McDermott knows how to win.
Or even had the success at the highest levels. Kyle Shanahan wasn't a head coach, but he was an excellent offensive coordinator for years. Also, his father was a great head coach. Whatever it may be. We don't know that. So with Dable and the Giants, and that to me is maybe the biggest question mark. You're talking about, we get excited about Dart and his ability to run and throw and the moxie and the arrogance and all that stuff, the confidence. But really, what does it mean if you don't have the proper head coach to get the most out of him?
Not what we want it to mean. Right. But I'm going to challenge you on this. You say we don't know yet about Dable. I think we might. I mean,
well, we might.
How much more evidence do we need?
Yeah,
I mean, think about that. I'm not trying to be that, you know, but...
Well, the needle is pointing to bad egg, you know, Willy Wonka. The needle is pointing to bad egg, but it could be saved here if he makes the most out of Jackson Dart. That is still possible.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.